The dictionary defines witness as an individual who, being present, personally sees or perceive a thing or behold and a beholder, spectator, or eyewitness. By law, the witness to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When they testify to speak the truth, and they are under oath. While they are under oath, if they speak not the truth, there is a crime called perjury. Witness give his or her testimony as to what the person have seen, experienced, only the first hand, not the second hand, in effort to establish the truth. Beyond that is unreliable and operate on hearsay. You see, the John the Baptist is a very, very reliable witness because he only spoke the truth what he has seen, the evidence presented to him. It was not because he just had a feeling or something caused him, like he had a bad bunch of locusts he ate the night before. It didn't go with him well, so he had a mystic feeling. No, it has nothing to do with that. As I mentioned before, the reason why John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived up to this period of time claimed by Jesus is because he was the first one to announce the arrival of the Messiah to the land of Israel, as well as for mankind. To give him credibility, Father in heaven allowed him to witness, the word I'm emphasizing, witness, the very special moment of a manifestation of an appearance of the Trinity. Father in heaven speaking from the heaven, and the Son, God the Son, the Lamb of God, appearing on earth, and God the Spirit coming down from heaven in the form of a dove. If you're looking for a major goosebump moment, this is it. You don't get to see the Trinity coming together that often in the Bible. So let's take a look at the greatest man ever lived during that time. That's John the Baptist. Before we go there, we'll have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are keenly reminded that our lives are but a vapor. With our brother Wayne's Kurt's departure from this world, and the little child, the sky. Yet we rejoice with them that they are in the presence of you and the Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. No more pain, no more darkness, no more night. Never-ending joy that comes from you alone. The life, eternal life, comes from you alone. Without the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, there is no way we could dare to come to your presence and your throne. So we praise your holy name, O God. Who is like you? There is none like you. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may truly become a born-again Christian, not as what he says, but according to what you claim. And we pray for our armed forces. Father, it's been a lot of attack against our soldiers. We're asking you to put the warrior angels around them, protect them, and you willing, you bring them back to their families, to their homes soon. And we also pray for another group of people who protect us, the firefighters, the law enforcement personnel, such as sheriff deputies, the police officers, and border patrol agents, and whoever they are, wherever they are, we're asking you to watch over them and protect them, especially the one who attends our church. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. let's have a quick background check of this John the Baptist. According to Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 1 through 25, you don't have to look at it, you just jot it down and then go back and take a look at it, please. John the Baptist's parents is Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were elderly people. They were not supposed to have a baby in a normal circumstance. They are the proud owner of AARP members. But with the God's intervention, she got pregnant, and it was John the Baptist. And according to Dr. Luke, the author of a book of Luke, soon as he could, from the boyhood, John the Baptist lived in the desert. His appearance was rather unique. He wore camel hair and wore the leather belt, and ate a steady diet of locust and wild honey. In other words, he was the original hippie living in the desert and eating the organic food. His life and ministry was cut short, literally, because John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod the King. However, his short life and his short ministry has been quite impressive. Why? Because he spoke the truth and he announced the arrival of Jesus Christ. So back to the chapter 3 of Matthew in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." This means that John gave the hellfire and brimstone preaching of the call for the repentance in order to prepare the way for Jesus. If you think I'm hard time to time, I'm nothing to compare with John the Baptist. Even though his ministry didn't last long, as I mentioned, and nor did he cover much area, because he pretty much did a walking distance area, and people during that time took a special notice on this eccentric man preaching the repentance for the upcoming Lord. One interesting thing I found is that the three other gospel writers, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talked about John baptizing Jesus. However, Apostle John, in this case, did not say anything about it. By the time he mentioned baptism of Jesus, it's already done, and he even went to the wilderness by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He was there 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by Satan, and he returned from that. See, the things that we have to notice is that Bible is not always giving the time sequence properly. If you think that it's because right next to each other it's happening consecutively, it's not. Sometimes, even the right next to each other, there's about 10 years difference. There's a big time gap between what John the Baptist said and what's happening in this moment. Back to chapter 1 of John, please. Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." By the way, Jesus' last name is not Christ, in case you think that way. The Christ means it's a Greek word. It's a kind of English version of a Greek word, Christo, which means the Messiah. Just make a note of that, please. And verse 21, and they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" We may give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make a straight way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. A group of religious leaders dispatched from Jerusalem. See, they are the one who came out to see this weird and wild, eccentric preacher in the Judean wilderness. They want to know who this guy is. And they have every right to do so because they are the guardian and the custodian of the faith of Israel. And they are the most like Sanhedrin and some probably mixed with the Pharisees. They ask questions, who are you? You know, what then? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? And the answer they got is no, no, no. Then why are you doing this? See, John denied being either Elijah or the Messiah. John had nothing to say about himself because he was sent to proclaim and talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. John was simply a voice. John pointed back to the prophecy of the Isaiah and affirmed that he was the fulfillment. Keep your finger there. Let's go to Isaiah. Way behind Song of Solomon, before Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. If you borrow one of our church Bible, there is a page number if you want to cheat. You there yet? Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist was not least concerned about his own reputation or glory. Only thing he had in mind was pointing people to Jesus Christ. With that state in mind, let me ask you this. This is a serious question. I'm going to ask you this. Don't raise your hand because it's between you and God. You can say what you want and everybody will believe. But God knows your heart. Let me ask you this. Do you witness to your family member, your friend, your neighbors, and coworkers as the Holy Spirit leads? I'm not talking about preaching to them like a preacher. I'm talking about giving out your testimony and what Jesus has done in your life during your conversation. Many people don't do this kind of thing because, and they say, well, I'm uncomfortable. What are you afraid of? Your reputation, your uncomfortableness? Folks, this is not a recommendation. This is commandment from God. All of us, not just selected few. All of us to speak the truth about Jesus Christ. If you cannot do well, do this. Like what one of the disciples of Jesus did, Andrew. Do you know what Andrew did? Whenever he meets some people, he doesn't know how to answer. He said, come and see. Come and see. So bring the people to church. Go pick them up. Say, I'm going to buy you lunch. I'm going to buy you breakfast. Maybe it's a good time to make an ice break. Bring them to Jesus. That's your job. My job is the same thing. When they come here, I simply point them to the cross, Jesus' atoning sacrifice. See, John the Baptist told the religious leaders that he was not Elijah. I'm sorry, rather before. John the Baptist said he's not Elijah. However, but in chapter 17 of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples that Elijah had come already, which he spoke of as John the Baptist. It sounds like a double talk and much confusing. So keep your finger in John and go to Matthew chapter 17, please. Matthew 17. Are you guys hot?
No.
You know, I heard about the hot flesh. It's getting worse. Verse 10. And his disciple asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things." Verse 12. "But I say to you that Elijah has come already." See that? "And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. By this time they already killed and beheaded John the Baptist. Likewise, Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hand." That, of course, he's talking about crucifixion is going to happen. "Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." If you are confused, that's okay. Well, let me explain to you in context. Malachi predicted that Elijah would come to herald the appearance of a Messiah. See, he said in Malachi chapter 4, so one book before Matthew, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That was the reason why the Jewish religious leaders asked him if he was Elijah, that coming back. When Jesus answered to his disciples that Elijah was come already, he meant that John the Baptist came, was ministering in Elijah's spirit and the power. As the angel Gabriel mentioned, and you're thinking, where'd you find that? I'm glad you're thinking that, because it says in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Are you with me so far? Okay, Luke 1:17. Okay, he, this time, is John the Baptist. John the Baptist will also go before him. This is capital H. So who would that be? Jesus. In the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make the ready of people prepare for the Lord. What does it mean that John the Baptist said in verse 23, back to the chapter 1 of John? John 1:23, please. John 1:23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the straight way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Of course, he's not talking about the little way, the pavement. It's about the heart of the people of Israel. We can find the answer from the John the Baptist, his own lips, in Matthew 3, this time. Matthew 3, please. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, this is what we do. We go back and forth throughout the Bible, and we learn everything what God has for us. Chapter 3, verse 2. "And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what his job description is. Telling people, repent. You with me so far? Okay, back to John 1, verse 24. John 1, 24. "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize?'" Note that word. "Why do you baptize? If you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet." John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stand one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethsabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." To understand this conversation, we must comprehend the background of the baptism, the Jewish baptism. Listen, Christian is not the only one who have a baptism. It's been going on for some time. Jewish people had it as well. Jews in the John's day practiced baptism as well. It was an outgrowth of the ceremonial washing. But the Jews at that time typically reserved the baptism for the Gentile who wanted to become Jews. Let's say there is a man, the Greek man, or the from Egypt. If they want to be converted to Judaism, they have to go through the ceremonial things, and one of them is a baptism. In other words, to submit John's baptism, then that Jew identify himself as Gentile. And that's a genuine repentance, a sign of repentance. If any of us were John the Baptist, probably we would drop a few names, like God. I was appointed by God to proclaim the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to you guys, to you heathen. Or he might say, well, you see, my birth was announced by no one else other than Angel Gabriel. He showed up in front of my father while he was presenting censers on the altar. Or he might say, well, when my Messiah was coming, baby infant Messiah was coming, I rejoiced in my mother's womb. I was that spiritual. He did none of that. He did none of that. Because he was, as I mentioned, he was not concerned about his own reputation. Untying the strap. See, this guy said he is not even qualified to untie the strap of a sandal of the Messiah. Untying the strap of a sandal before the foot washing was the duty of the lowest slave. He said he's not even qualified for that. How refreshing that is, the true humility John the Baptist had. I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen many. The Christian celebrities. And, you know, sometimes I hear this kind of thing. If they are invited to speak somewhere, they demand, literally demand, they don't suggest, they demand that they want private jet round trip with a five-figure honorarium and five-star hotel accommodation and limousine service. That sounds like a servant, don't you think? And then they talk about humility from the pulpit. There's a Greek word for that. Yeah, you got that. It's not just some particular denomination. It's just about all over. I really believe that. I wouldn't doubt if this kind of false humility make God nauseated. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Underline, highlight, circle, point arrow on that thing. That's the whole point. This is of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with the water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. This is a first-hand witness. This is the first evidence. Have you ever seen a watch lamb or attack lamb and bearing their fang like this and snarl you? Bah! Or how about Lambo. We all know the sheep and the lamb cannot do a whole lot when it comes to scaring other people or other animals. Other than getting killed. You see, that's the precise point. Jesus came to die for us. The whole message of the Bible can be summed up in this title, the Lamb of God. The question in the book of Genesis 22, son Isaac asked father Abraham, where is the lamb? That was answered by the John the Baptist right now. Behold, the Lamb of God. And that was echoed by the heavenly choir in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb. You get that? The people of the ancient Israel was familiar with the lamb for the sacrifice. At Passover, each family had to have one lamb to cover their sins. And throughout the year, at least two lambs a day being sacrificed on the altar. Not to mention the other lambs that comes for the personal sacrifice. See, those lambs were brought by man to man priest. But this Lamb of God was given by God to man. The sacrificial lamb at the temple altar could not take away sin, but the Lamb of God can. The lamb at the altar for Israel only, but the Lamb of God was for all mankind. At the dawn of Jesus' earthly ministry, John the Baptist announced the Lord with the word that remained with him entire time. It's about his destiny. His atoning sacrifice on the cross was for those who hang him with their sin and with your sin and with my sin. It's not the Roman soldier who nailed him. You know that? It's not the Roman soldier who nailed him. You nailed him. I nailed him. My sin pierced him on the side. Your sin became a stone or crown and shoved it down on his head. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, the shadow of the cross has never left him. As I said, the Lamb of God was born to die for others. John 15, 13, please. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Jesus said, I no longer call you friend. I no longer call you servant, but now I call you friend. We are born again Christian, and we are not only children of God, but also we are friends of Jesus Christ. So what does John's baptism have to do with Jesus, the Lamb of God? Everything. See, think with me. Let's say I'm the John the Baptist, and you are coming to be baptized. And I'm holding you and dunk you into the Jordan River. As I put you down under the water, that's death and burial. That represent. And when I pull you out of the water, that's representing resurrection of Jesus Christ. Has everything to do with Jesus. He's a forerunner of Jesus Christ. So God gave John the Baptist a sure sign to know the Messiah. He would be the one on whom the Holy Spirit descended upon from heaven. John is a reliable witness regarding who Jesus is, and because he has had confirming evidence from God. Agree? Let's make two applications. Number one, point people to Jesus. It is not about recommendation from the Lord, but it's a commandment. Second application, Jesus gave his breath for our earthly life. Jesus gave his death for our eternal life. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Please don't move around. It is important. We have many new faces today. So I'm asking you, check your heart. Ask yourself, do I have the assurance to go to heaven if I die now? See, we rejoice. Even though we miss Wayne Kurtz, we rejoice because he is in heaven. He no longer is in pain. We have the assurance because he received Jesus Christ into his heart as a Lord and Savior. And he was a born-again Christian. You have to understand, if you are just thinking that I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven, I go to church time to time, so I must be good and God owe me the admittance to heaven. No. According to the Bible, you will not enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. What does it mean, born again? Nicodemus, the ultimate religious leader, asked, how the man can be born again? Can man be enter into the mother's womb again? It's a spiritual birth. It's born from above. You may have a physical life, but spiritually, so far, you're dead. That's why you have to be born again by the power of God. If you have not received Jesus into your heart, today is the day, now is the time for you to receive Him. There's nothing you have to do to make it happen. All you got to do is simply commit your life to Him. As an expression of your commitment to God, you raise your hand. If you like to do that, raise your hand. Do it now. God bless you, and God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, including those two people, all of you, to repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned. And I realize that my sin separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ, and He died for my sin and rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Please come into my heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.